Welcome to Meant to Win, a podcast for founders, visionaries, and leaders who are deeply aware that their life and work are meant to create a bigger impact. We're diving into real strategy, conscious leadership, and the internal identity work that allows you to create massive success. I'm your host, Dr. Stephanie Wigner, an author, speaker, and eight-figure entrepreneur who loves to take business strategy and combine it with the inner identity work that truly unlocks the next level for you. If you know you have a big calling for your life and your work is meant to help more people, then you're in the right place. Welcome back, you beautiful people. As you can tell, I am in a different space today, bringing you the podcast. I am so excited to tell you who I have in store for you. This woman is an icon, a trailblazer in manifesting, in making money, in showing women what's possible when they just claim more for their life. She has been a mentor to me recently in her mastermind, as well as over the last 5 years where I have read her books, listened to her courses, and she has completely transformed the way that I think about making money. And she's also known as the money queen, the one, the only, Amanda Francis. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I'm so excited. We are recording in your podcast
studio. Yeah, you're in my office. You're the first person to record a podcast in here. I haven't recorded one yet.
I feel so honored. I am so excited. And I really know, first of all, I don't think I told you this. After my January event, I sent out the form to like our attendees and I was like, who do you guys want at the next? And there was like 85% of the people that said they wanted Amanda Francis.
Really? Mm-hmm. Do they know you're in my mastermind?
Yes.
They're like, she has an in. Let's get Amanda there.
Yeah, exactly. They were like, Steph, work your magic. Do whatever you have to do to get her there. And so when
I don't think it was hard. I think you just asked me.
I know. At St. Bart's. I was like, hey, are you free in August? And I know everybody's so excited about that. And a lot of them have been watching your content, consuming some of your courses and things like that. And so inspired by your story of truly building this beautiful life you have from nothing and claiming that you wanted more.
From literally nothing. But isn't that what manifestation is in its truest form? It's supposed to be something from nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think the magic of that, I think the thing everyone has in common who creates a really big life is they continue to see more for themselves over and over and over and over when there was nothing in their actual reality that gave them any evidence that that was possible, right?
I love that. And when you, I think about back to like the beginning parts of your story, when you were in nothing and you were like, I want this big, beautiful life. How much do you think your environment impacted that? And you were like, hey, I'm going to remove myself from this environment and go somewhere where I feel a little expanded.
At what part?
Like leaving Oklahoma and going and putting yourself in
I did. Way before I left Oklahoma, I was always noticing environments around me. I was noticing how people around me thought about money and talked about money. Like I say in my book, I was noticing how the environment around money in my friends' homes was different than mine. Mm-hmm. People who had more money and less than us. Like I was just noticing how people conduct themselves with money, use money, how they talk about it. I found it was interesting, like the confidence around money some people had, or like the, oh, it doesn't fucking matter, we know we're wasting it, that other people had. Like I found that all very fascinating. And then, so I was always studying mm-hmm. money mindset and emotions around money and the psychology of money, but way before I would have language for that. And then I kept trying to put myself in better and better and better environments. I mean, I went to private schools for undergrad and grad school on student loans. I wanted to go where people who could go anywhere they wanted and money wasn't an object went. I thought that was a good move. And it was for me. And it's controversial because I didn't go get student loans resenting them. Yeah. Like I went, got student loans believing I would pay them off, which is like a different energy than a lot of people get an education with.
It's so good too, because a lot of my listeners have went to school for a long time, so they have insane student loans.
Oh, right.
And it's like, that's how I feel too. It's like, it was an investment that I was going to make 10x.
But it was such a choice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it wasn't that all, because I was in school for therapy, it wasn't that all therapists were making a ton of money. Some were, some weren't. It wasn't really even about that at all. It was that I believed I would make a lot of money. It was about like me.
That's one of the things that I have loved learning from you the most is you just have this self-belief. Have you always had that?
Yes, I think so. But that doesn't mean it's without maintenance and cultivation. And it doesn't mean there's not doubt, because there's doubt all the time. There's regular human thoughts. I was so frustrated yesterday about something I couldn't get to sort. Like, I get frustrated at the world. I get frustrated at life. I get frustrated when things aren't coming together the way I want them to. But none of that affects my belief in my ability. Mm-hmm. I believe I am able to do anything I want to do. And I don't think anything outside of me is more powerful than me and my belief and my ability.
And we have gotten a first class seat to seeing that, I think, in you this year too, of like, oh, just yeah. So secure in who you are.
Thanks.
Like, it's been phenomenal. And even just seeing you getting more visibility and maybe people not saying the nicest things about you is like, I'm sure there's been times where you've been like, oh, this one kind of hurts, or like, this is crazy. People are losing their mind, but you are just so secure.
I don't know how I did it though. Like, now that I'm on the other side of it, I think I've said this in the mastermind that my affirmation was, I win in the end, I win in the end. We're talking about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
In case you don't know.
My affirmation was, I win in the end, I win in the end, I win in the end. And we're at the end of the season and it's looking like I fucking win the season. Yeah. Like, I am on a real high note where everyone finally seems to get me. I don't mean the housewives. Mm-hmm. I mean the audience is like, yes. Oh, she says who she is. She says she is. She conducted herself as the person she claimed to be this entire time. And like, I feel rewarded and mm-hmm. happy and grateful. But when I look at the middle of that, when it was bad, I do not know how I did it. Because mm-hmm. most people would have absolutely collapsed and died and gone into a crazy depression and doubted everything about their lives. And it would have been valid. It totally. Would have been completely I do not know how I did it. Like, you guys in the mastermind would be like, how are you? And I'd be like, fine. Mm-hmm. I wasn't consuming a lot. I was taking big breaks from the internet. And I also, if we're going to rewind it a little bit, my foundation came way before Housewives. Mm-hmm. My like business, my life came way before any of this. So when it was like getting kind of like rocky, I think maybe a quarter into the season, and people were starting to like really question me. And people would be like, do you think it's going to hurt your business? Is it going to take away your business? Like, gird your loins. It was this crazy, like, they're going to hurt you. I remember thinking like, but they can't. Mm-hmm. Like, they actually can't, because my actual clients, my actual students, tried and true for like 15 years, those people aren't fussed by this. Mm-mm. At all. They don't care. They don't live in Bravo world or Hollywood world or like, you know,
yeah.
3D world at all. We're not really actually even interested.
We're not in this planet, interested in this planet at all.
Like, they're not, right. You're not interested in it. You're not looking at it. You're not consuming any of it as fact or as truth. And I really knew it wouldn't hurt me. So there was that. So I felt really secure in that. No one likes feeling misunderstood. But again, I had to believe that I would win in the end. And like, to me, this was the worst case scenario. The worst case scenario is that we didn't convert any Bravo people and my world just stayed the way it was. That was like worst case scenario. Because very few people from like my audience, my community, very, very few took the show like more seriously than what they knew of me. Mm-hmm. I saw maybe like 3 people total be like, I've always loved you. But then I saw that episode and I was like, if you're going to believe an edited television show over what I've put out there for 15 years, then bye. Like, I'm not mm-hmm. fussed about that either. So I believed it couldn't hurt me. I believed my foundation was solid. I knew it was a blip in the whole story of my life. Mm-hmm. The worst things they've said about me had been said about me before. It was just louder. Yeah. It wasn't like more true. There wasn't more evidence. It was the same Reddit trolls from forever that just felt like they had more. Oh, no. Yeah, they had a little amplification. Yeah. So truly in the middle of it, yeah, I was like, fine.
No, I watched you and we were all losing our mind. We were like, you are a class act. Like, the rest of us would be spiraling if this was us.
Yeah, I really didn't. But also, I think it's just kind of funny. Like, all the Bravo content creators that really like went crazy and went hard for me, they all just lost steam because mm-hmm. there wasn't anything like there.
Yeah, there was no validity to it. When... That's one of the things, I'm glad you mentioned this, like, you've been in it for 15 years, which is one of the things I admire. You were online coaching before online coaching was even a thing.
I mean, it was kind of a thing, but I was in the beginning of it.
You were in such the beginning of it. And that's one of the things that you said to me in St. Bart's when we were talking about like, okay, how do you feel if somebody's trying to duplicate what you've done or trying to copy and paste everything that you've done? Like, how do you work through that mentally and how does it not trigger you? And you were like, I've been at it for 15 years. I am excited for somebody to try. A lot of people have told me they could do it, and I've yet to see very few who can and like stay in the game this long and have the longevity and all of that. And so what do you think has aided you the most in being able to still have a passion for what you're doing and still be doing it for the next 15, 20 years?
I have like a 5-part answer. Okay, first, around being like copy and pasted and duplicated and like ripped off, it sucks. No one likes it. I just was going through my journey of it being painful to me like so long ago. It was like 2016, 2017 where I was like, oh my God, they copy and pasted my sales page. It was just a long time ago now. And it can go two ways. Those people who copy and paste you, they can over time get their own voice, their own spin, their own take, and they can make something of themselves. If there's something really in them to give, but they kind of are just like being a little lazy, a little confused, a little, I don't know where to start. And they're just like kind of lifting your content because they just don't have their voice yet. Yeah. Some people can end up okay. But like, yeah, what I was saying in St. Bart's, vast majority of people, if they have nothing to say, no foundation, no real belief in themselves, no real message, they're just going to disappear. And the fact that they copied your sales page will not matter in 1 year. So don't get fussed. Don't get that fussed about it, because like it just happens. I don't even know anymore. Like I used to like know, like mm-hmm. people would like send me these sales pages. My team does have a thing though we pay for. I think it's called Copyscape, where we get a notification if someone tries to just like
completely duplicate.
Yeah. And I don't even know what we do when we get that notification.
I just know what they do.
My team knows what they do. I just know it's kind of easier to track than it was once upon a time. And I mean, here's the other thing. When something's bothering you, you're going to see a lot more of it. When that used to bother me, it was in my DMs like all the time. Now that I literally don't care, I don't know if people are DMing it to me or not. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that's just how triggers work. Like things come up when they need to be healed. And once they've been healed, they stop coming up. So that's a great life lesson for everything bothering you right now.
I love that lesson. And like, let's just stay here for a minute, because as I have like really started to become more authentic, I've always been authentic, but like finding yourself, the longer you do the things and like finding your voice and finding mm-hmm. like your values, what you stand for. And that is just strengthening right now in my life. I realize I'm becoming more of a trigger to people. Uh-huh. And it's
welcome to the party.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, I guess this is part of it.
I think it's part of my just like dharma on this life that I'm supposed to like represent certain things unapologetically. And my existence either is very inspiring because people go, holy fuck, I want to do that too. Even if it has nothing to do with coaching or nothing to do with online business, just like I want to live bigger. Or people who've decided they can't have more, it is absolutely triggering because mm-hmm. I am the opposite of the limiting belief holding you back. Mm-hmm. I am like the visible proof. Yeah, because they're like, she's not that special. She's not like, she didn't have her family backing her. She didn't have money. She's from middle America. Like if she can have it, why can't I? You know? Mm-hmm. But like, you can. You know, so
and that was like your story resonated with me so much because I am from middle America and I didn't come from much. And I saw you living this big life and I was like, if she can do it, I can do it. Like that Absolutely. Was such an unlock for me seeing somebody.
Where
like,
were you at that time?
I had just had this shout out to my client, Rai. She actually gifted me your book. And
how long ago was this?
This was in 2022.
Okay.
And she gifted me your book and I read it and then I bought a ton of copies and gifted it to all these women at one of my retreats. But that was the first permission slip of somebody that like and moved to the West Coast, you know, and I live on the East Coast. And it was mm-hmm. like, I just knew even my environment, I wanted something a little bit different.
Yeah.
I wanted to be expanded. And I was probably in my practice. I had my first practice then. I was probably profiting like 25, 30K a month, really solid. And that felt great.
Yeah. Nothing was wrong at all.
Yes.
You can live a very beautiful life on that, like forever. Theoretically.
Mm-hmm. And
unless someone mentions six figure months to you and then you go, fuck.
Yeah. And I'm like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
And so that's why we need women owning it so much to be the permission slip to other women. And one of the other things that I really look up to you for is like the way that you mother. You are such a present mother with everything that you have going on too. I think people would actually be shocked.
at how much, how involved I am.
Yes.
I don't have childcare till noon.
Yes.
Typically, like, yeah.
And what has been the hardest of growing your business and being a present mom?
Okay, I have like 5,000. I have like things I want to circle back
all.
To. No, I need to circle back to the foundation. How did you do it for 15 years? How are you doing it 15 more? And the environment thing, because when you're talking about environments, I had more to say about that. Hold on, what order? Okay. Environments, just because I feel like people need to think through that. It's going to be different for everyone, but it might just be they need to upgrade an apartment. You know what I mean? So for me, through like grad school, every apartment I got was like nicer than the one before. Mm-hmm. And that was an upgrade, really, more than anything, in an identity. Could I afford to not live in the super, super old, like run down, got a great rate apartment? Could I have like the little bit nicer townhouse? And it, like, the funny thing about identity, that townhouse didn't cost that much more than the apartment, but I didn't believe I was someone who could live in that kind of townhouse, right? So I'm watching myself do that through grad school as I'm practicing all these principles anyway. And then coming to California was a whole different thing. I came to Santa Barbara because I had briefly dated a guy who lived in Santa Barbara and I just wanted a home base. But my limiting beliefs that I couldn't live in California because of the cost of living, what was it? It was the cost of living and the taxes. Like, where I'm from, you are crazy if you move to California. Like, who would go to where the crime's higher and the this and the that? But I never felt as free or as good as when I was in California, and I had visited several times, and I was just like, why do I not live there? I have a specific memory of flying in from Bali, because I lived in Bali for a time, and my friend Danielle picking me up from the airport to take me to stay with her. And I was like, it's not making sense to me that I don't have a house here, and I don't know what that means, but something about the realization that I don't have a place to live here is feeling very weird and foreign to me. And she's like, I think you have to get a place here. And I was like, but the cost of living and the taxes or whatever, because that's what everyone said. So anyway, I went to Santa Barbara. I was there like a year and a half. That's when I learned that seven figures wasn't a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Because I had made this was 2017. I made $500,000 in 2016. I got to Montecito, and like the cost of like my Airbnb, and then I lived in a hotel for a season, the cost of like living in a 5-star resort, the cost of like living life the way I wanted to live it cost way more than I understood. And I looked around and I was like, okay, seven figures is middle class here. Middle class millionaire. This is like, it's different than I thought. If I want to buy property in California, and I do, I have to like up my whole game around all of this. I couldn't afford property in California. So I did a fun little thing where I like bought a duplex in Oklahoma. Then a year later, I bought a fourplex. And then I had, because this was a different time, like mortgage people didn't know what to do with someone like me. Now people in our industry get mortgages all the time. They weren't giving mortgages to online business people. Yeah. So I had to buy like a $100,000 thing and a $400,000 thing before I could get approved for like a three. And I had like great credit. But anyway, beside the point. Okay, so upgrade environment. So I felt like every time I moved to a new place, every single house I've moved to has been an energetic expansion in a different way. You know what I mean? I moved to Malibu after Santa Barbara. Malibu had this like, I used to watch this place on TV kind of feel. Like this, like I am on the ocean. Like my house is on stilts in the ocean. That was a whole kind of thing. And then I lived across the street. I think I talk about it in the book, like when you can see the dolphins from the rooftop. That's when I moved to a different part of Malibu. But anyway, and then I bought a house in West Hollywood, and that was like a home ownership thing. And then we leased this crazy $30 million house in Bel Air. And that's the first time I think I ever felt what an estate, like a mansion felt like.
Is that where you recorded self-published?
Yes.
Yeah, on that like rooftop?
Yeah, and you can see
the whole city.
The city behind me. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So I don't know, like, yes, my environment and my homes have been upgrades, but when I'm talking about a $30 million house that was like $65,000 a month, which is crazy, you got to remember it's the same principle as when I was just wanting to do the downtown house that was $700 a month instead of $600 a month. Like we got, you know?
Yeah.
It's been the same principle all the time. Okay, so that's what I'll say about environments. And then how do you do it for 15 years and plan to do it 15 more? You have to be willing to reinvent just anytime the reinvention is there. Like meaning anytime you just don't like it anymore, anytime you're bored. Like every coach ever at one point in time, clients sustained my income. Mm-hmm. Like I had all these clients and I remember thinking, would it be possible for courses to sustain me? Is that like, that's what I really, really want, but I don't see anyone doing that. Mm-hmm. But I had to believe it was possible because it was what I deeply wanted. And the And it, let's see. So I started thinking that in 2016. And then by like 2018, 2019, I was like, oh, wow, clients are now just bonus. Like I can live completely on courses. And then I just kept upping that and upping that and upping that. And then I got rid of my mastermind, got rid of clients, and just had a season of like, I didn't actually have anyone on my calendar for like 3 years. And that was wonderful. And now I feel like I'm there again because I am obsessed with my low cost offers, my pay what you feel. I don't remember ever loving anything this much, but this is exactly how I felt when I decided I wanted to do courses. Like I love getting thousands of people into a $21 thing or a $5 or an $11 or a pay what you feel. Like I just see a life where I have like 30,000 or 50,000 people in like a challenge for $20. Mm-hmm. And it makes me happier than anything has ever made me. So I have to go with that. But it feels just like the course thing did. Like the math doesn't math yet. It doesn't right. make sense yet.
It's not going to sustain your lifestyle until it's 10x'd.
Right. But you know, we made like $45,000 off a $21 offer in the last 3 days. That's insane. And as I was looking at that, I was like, I'm right about this.
Yeah. The math actually does math.
The math will math yeah. if I keep building this up and growing this. Yeah. So then what will courses be? Icing on the cake. What will my mastermind be? Icing on the cake. And I think that's just what I want next. But you can't do it forever if you get really stuck in your ways, get really stuck in a business model, and if you won't pivot.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's such a good reminder. I talk about this concept too of just the more you're in alignment, the more you make. It's just if you're a lot of my clients are like yeah. stuck in this box of how they can operate their business. How, it has to look this way. I have to do this model. This is what I have to charge.
And you actually have to give things up all the time to try new things that you want more.
Yes.
To make more money
yeah,
and expand and feel like yourself, like your best self.
And yes. Was there a part of you, because people listening to you are probably like, oh my God, that sounds phenomenal. I want to do that. But has there ever been a part of you where you do make that pivot in business and it feels like you're lighting something on fire to pursue the next? Or is there a part of the fear where it almost holds you back? Are you just like, I know it so well inside of me that this is the next move?
I'm a really good pivoter. Mm-hmm. I don't typically burn things to the ground to build up a new thing. Mm-hmm. And it's fine. I've had clients and mentors, and I know tons of people that have had to burn it down
yeah.
to do something else. I'm a real great like phasing this out, phasing yeah. this in. I don't do a lot of burning to the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, you know?
Yeah. No, yeah. That makes sense. I feel I'm the same way. I'm like, let me reiterate this a little bit.
As yeah, we like start I'm tweaking these things. I'm building up these other things. Mm-hmm. I'm setting the intention that I'm not really going to need this thing anymore. But it's,
let's.
I don't blow a lot up, but I didn't answer your mom question yet.
Oh, sure. Okay, yeah, that's an important one.
I don't want to skip it because it's like my favorite thing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it's going to look different for absolutely everyone, but I would say, number one, give up the idea of balanced because you will not feel balanced ever again, literally ever again from the time you have children. But also, I didn't feel balanced before I had kids. I was so out of balance, all in on my business, and I loved my obsession with my business. Like, I was happy out of balance. So now I am also out of balance, but I'm juggling. I'm juggling differently. I before was willing to be just one track minded and have one obsession and care about nothing else. Now my business is something to compete with and it matters more. And that was very much a mind fuck. I didn't know to the degree that I would feel thrown off, mm-hmm. you know, by having something that mattered more. And then wondering where my business fit when my kids were just really, truly the focus. And I had been through a lot online. Like I had a lot of cancel culture-y stuff when I was pregnant with Kanan and Zion. So by the time they were born and Zion died and I had a newborn and he mattered more. And then Delilah came so fast. I did not plan to have her that soon. Basically, before I knew it, I had 2 under 2 and I was like, do I even want to do this business anymore? And so that was like a whole journey. But once I reached the conclusion of like, yeah, this is what I fucking want to do, and my kids will always come first. How do I do it every day? I mean, like one, like I said, you're not going to feel balanced and that's okay. Two, the best thing you can do is be present in whatever you're doing at the moment you're doing it. So if you're with your kids, be with your kids. If you're working, work. This is just me. This is not everyone. I like for them to interrupt me. I like them to pop in during a live stream or a podcast or whatever. I think it's good. I think it's good for me. I think it's good for them. I don't want them to feel like my mom was sequestered away from me. Like she was at home, but I wasn't allowed to see her. Like when a child person has been like, no, your mom's recording. I'm like, you don't have to tell them that. Yeah. Like there's no one in my business, in my world, who's going to be offended by a child coming in a room. And that's not right for everyone. Like, but I don't have an office outside the home. Here we are. This is the office. You know what I mean? And you might find me working in the guest room or in my bedroom, or like I could be working anywhere, but I want them to interrupt me. So no balance. Let them interrupt you. Again, this is just me. I like to pick a chunk of the day that is kid time. So for me, mornings is a really easy kid time because I'm not a morning person anyway. So I want to have breakfast with them and I want to like take them on a walk and I want to have like something that's just us before my day really gets started. And then I want to end the day with them. And then in like late morning to like through afternoon, I want to be super focused. And if it's like, I'll just go work outside of the house if I don't want to be interrupted. Like I just worked from a restaurant all day yesterday. I did our mastermind call from a restaurant. People were like, are you in Europe? Where are you? What is that background? I was like, no, I'm in Studio City. Yeah. Okay. There's, thoughts? You had so much to say.
I know. It's like, this is where you have blown my mind too. And just reminded me over and over, like there are no fucking rules.
No.
Stop trying to live by these set of rules. And like, you have to do it this way or that way. And like, even you work different hours. Like there's sometimes you're in the mastermind at like 10 PM, you know, because mm-hmm. you're like, okay.
And you
like,
might see me at 6 AM a different day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not good at schedules though. I don't know if that's a strength or a weakness, but I'm just like, it's not very me to do the same thing at every, like, it's probably my ADHD. It'll mm-hmm. get really boring
yeah.
to me if there's not variety.
Yeah.
So yeah, it does vary a lot. What varies is when I do different things. The mastermind isn't a set time every day, but the mastermind needs to be attended to every day.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know. You don't know when I'm going to be there.
And we don't either. And we love it. It's like a little surprise and delight, you know?
There she is.
With your...
What roles did you feel like you had to do as a mom?
I think what I'm really struggling with right now is that there's a piece of me as a, like this piece of me, like, I just want to do it right. Like I am such a good girl at heart, you know? And it's like, I want to do it right. So I want to do motherhood right. But I have these really big ambitions. And so like here, I'm in LA for 48 hours. I'm clearly not with my child, you know? And like, I think I'm getting better at this, but I've spent so much time, just analyzing and judging, like, was that right? Was that not? And I think it's not even me judging myself. It's like, what are other people going to say?
Totally.
You know,
because intuitively we have it so hard on moms.
Yes.
That they're supposed to be with their kids all the time. And the mother in me is like, yes, I'm meant to be with them and they're meant to be with me. That is undeniable. I'm not actually questioning that. I very much want to be with them. But okay, here's what I look at. Okay. When you do it right, I could do a whole course on this. Well, actually, there is some of this in Money Mom, and maybe we need to add a module. When you do it right and your children are very securely attached, you know, and they really do know and believe that mom always comes home, like yes. my kids will tell you, mom always comes back. She yep. goes on an airplane, she always comes back. When they're attached and they know that, they have a great time when you're gone.
Yes.
Like, and that didn't just happen.
Yeah.
That happened because of our attachment, because I'm consistent and reliable and present, and because they're also attached to Eddie and mm-hmm. their older siblings, and they love our childcare people, and you know?
Yeah. No, and I think it's just seeing you integrate both, that's how I aim to be too, and I only have one child right now, but he does come along for a part of the ride. I think it's a huge inspiration.
I also like traveling with him. Yeah. I do really, really like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some people wouldn't want that at all, but I would, I like them
I'd
being
rather
with me.
Hang out with my son than most people.
Totally. So if they're at the hotel and they get to see me right after I'm done doing whatever, I do really enjoy that. There's been times where I'm like, I am not hauling two children to New York for 48 hours. But there's been other times, like next week, I need to go to Napa for a day to do a VIP day. So I'm bringing the babies and doing four nights.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that wouldn't be right for everyone. But I'm like, why would I not take two of my kids and go away for four nights given
yeah.
the window?
Yeah. I feel very much the same way. I think in this season of your life, what do you think is like your purpose or your calling? Like what's driving you? You're obviously very self-driven, self-motivated, but is there like a bigger purpose or calling that you feel like you're here to fulfill?
Right now, I'm very clear that I just want to get spirituality like to the masses. Like Bravo has lit the craziest fire under my ass that like I didn't see coming. Because okay, so in my journey, because you know a lot of it, it's like I start this coaching business. I find out really quickly that like I have a perspective on money that is like not normal. I start working with coaching clients on like money mindset. It's making a big difference in their life. I take a big chance on myself and create something called Money Mentality Makeover, a little 3-module course for $200 that I had no idea what it would become. I keep learning more about money and mindset and energetics and spirituality. I keep adding to the course. Tens of thousands of people love it, think it's a great idea, right? And I like grow this whole thing. But in this journey, I get really tired of the word manifestation being thrown around because I feel like people use it so strangely and I don't say the word manifestation for like 4 years. I say co-creation and allowing in and attracting, and I like ditch it all. And then sometime before I'm about to be on Housewives, I kind of like pick up the word again as just like, I think this is the word that most people are using. Manifestation is now in the zeitgeist in a new way. There's more understanding in manifestation than there's ever been. So I'm kind of like saying and owning it as my favorite word to describe all of the spirituality stuff. And then it's made fun of for a whole season, right? Because people don't understand what it fucking means. And that's really weird. But by the end of that, I was just like, if they don't understand manifestation, and what I'm really seeing when I look at the comments is they don't understand life. They don't understand pure spirituality. They don't understand that there's a connection with the divine that can support them. That's what I'm getting out of all of this. So like, I think I'm kind of presenting it as let me teach you manifestation. But what I really feel like I'm doing deep inside is let me open you up to the fact that there's a whole world that is unseen where you get to feel better and live better and be happy and pursue things that matter to you. And some of those things you can actually turn into a business. Like, because that's my experience with most people who get on this path. They find a way to charge for something they're gifted at that they love. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or they find a way to expand in their current job, whether it's corporate or something else, or they find a side hustle. I don't know. I have like the money codes. I have like figure out how to make money doing what you love, like ingrained in everything I say and do. So I just want to open people up to spirituality, whatever that means for them. And I know that will affect their lives and their businesses and their love and their children and their money. I think this is part of what I'm meant to do. I don't literally know what it's going to look like yet, but I do know there's something to teaching thousands of people at a time for like $20. I do know that.
I love that so much. I think too, you gave me a permission slip in St. Bart's. I was like, Amanda, what do you think about the fact that I say sometimes God and fuck in the same sentence? And you were like, do you know who I fucking am?
That's like my whole brand.
That's like what I do. And I'm like, I never even connected the dots. I'm like, oh yeah. Okay. Like that doesn't make me less of a Christian because I like the word fuck. You know?
It's like literally my whole brand. Here's how it went for me though. Okay. So a lot of people know, super Christian background, mm-hmm. like religious abuse and trauma and not great things, but always connected to God, like through like leaving the cult and like my relationship with God didn't change. Relationship with religion changed. Yep. You know what I mean? So that's what it was like for me. And then I start this online business and there was always spirituality infused into it. Like, cause I don't know how to do what I do without talking about God. Like I really don't. Mm-hmm. And I've never needed my clients to believe a certain way. Mm-hmm. I've had clients, I mean like half of our mastermind is Jewish. How do I attract all these Jewish people? Eddie's Jewish. Like my therapist is Jewish. One of my nannies is Jewish. Hold on, before I have two nannies, but they're both part-time. Okay. People are always weird when I say childcare people. I'm like, well, it's just
not one.
We're just scheduling. Yeah. We're just making it happen with two part-time people right now. We're not getting into that right now. Okay. And then, spirituality. Like I've never needed my clients to be any certain religion. I never cared about that. I just don't know how to coach without bringing God in. Yeah. It's just who. But I was even doing that in my therapy days. I was sitting in like the clinic at Southern Methodist University, like getting my practicum hours, being like, God, what would you have me say? God, what would you have me say? Like I was always like, God, I kind of need you in the mix of this therapeutic environment. But okay, so I started an online business. I'm learning how to brand and market myself. I am someone who at this point in time cusses. That is true and real to me. Like I've let some of those colorful language back into my life post, you know, religion. And I realize that something really interesting is happening every time I say God and fuck in the same post, in the same sentence. People who've also had negative religious experiences but still love God are getting it. They're like they're self-selecting when they see that post. They're going, oh, she loves God and says fuck. I'm safe here. She's not going to tell me that I have to live a very certain way to be worthy of the love of God or like whatever. They're like, that I, it just, putting God and fuck in the same sentence really formed a community. Mm-hmm. So people, it's funny now that I have this bigger audience I've opened up to, we have a whole new slew of people offended when I say fuck in an affirmation or whatever, and they'll comment like, I thought you were a Christian. And then people will come in and be like, do you even know who she is? What are you talking about? And like, I don't know, but it was kind of a branding and messaging decision that really like worked.
Because it's authentic to who you are.
It's authentic to who I am, but also there's a lot of us who there love is. God and say fuck.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. And like, I just think we can like, it really just tells a whole story.
It does. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I.
Because there's a whole lot of people who will say God and not say fuck mm-hmm. and not cuss. And they might be living in a different box. Reality yeah. around God than we are.
Yeah.
You True. Know, and I don't want to be over there in that reality where you can't say cuss words and believe mm-hmm. in infinite expansion, you know?
1,000%. I think the essence of this podcast is also when you're a permission slip for other people, you attract a lot of people like you. And I think it's one of the things for my audience. I don't know if it's because primarily we're doctors, we've went to school for a long time. And so we feel like we have to fit this professional narrative.
Do you have to go to school?
To be a chiropractor, you go to school 4 years of undergrad and 4 years of like postgrad.
So at least 8.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, you're like, you do this, you talk this way, you dress this way, you do these things. And so even for my audience, I'm like, guys, there's so many people looking for your fucking services. If you would just own more of who you actually are.
And that's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. Own more of who you are and express it. Mm-hmm. And the way we do it, express it on the internet.
Yeah.
And people will identify with it.
And they're going to see quickly if you're for them or not for them.
Totally.
Yeah.
But it's okay if people don't like it. You know, if you can't handle me saying fuck in an affirmation, then like unfollow me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to change the way I speak. Mm-hmm. You know?
It's been so good for me to see you embody that because it's been a reminder for me that like, of course, the more that you say, there's going to be so many people that find you and love you, but then there's going to be people that disqualify themselves too. And are like, that's not my vibe. And that's totally fine.
But that's so great. I don't mm-hmm. want to be for everyone. And even my like belief that I'm meant to get things to the masses, I mean, everyone will have to watch and see, but that's not going to be through trying to fit a certain narrative or a certain box or look a certain way. Like the only thing I've noticed that's changing as I feel this call to, you know, get this content to a lot of people is I feel myself like explaining things more delicately, like with more nuance, breaking things down. Mm-hmm. Cause like to you or someone in my mastermind, I could say like one sentence about something and you'll get what I mean. Like you'll know everything about it because you have like the background for it. But if I'm going to say that like God's not mad at you for wanting money or making money, I have to like break that down right now. So that's a little different. I feel like I'm trying to like get information to people who have no framework for some of this. But yeah, that's the only thing that feels different. I feel like my personality can continue to be big and bold and whatever.
Yeah. I love that. If you guys loved this podcast, I'm actually going to go hang out with Amanda for the rest of the day, but we are ending the podcast. And if you want to hear more from her, make sure you get your tickets to San Diego. We're going to have so much fun. We're going to do a little hot seat, a little Q&A just like this. And I think you guys would gather so much from it. And so,
I get to hot seat coach them.
Yeah.
I get to Q&A coach them.
Yes.
Come, it'll
like,
be fun.
Come tell us all your limiting beliefs and Amanda is going to obliterate them.
Oh, that is so great. Okay, cool. Let's do it. I'm excited.
I can't wait. All right, guys, I'll see you next week. If something in this episode resonated with you today, trust that it wasn't random. It wasn't an accident. Growth doesn't come from doing more. It comes from becoming more. If you know you're meant for a bigger life, a bigger impact, and success that actually truly feels aligned with you, then you're being called forward. This is your opportunity.